Blog Talk Radio.
There we go, baby. That is a perfect conclusion to my theme music. And this is the Eric Terrell Show, all right? That's exactly what we're doing. We're doing the Eric Terrell Show. I've got a couple different numbers here that I have to handle, but I know this one, Asia Downing.
What's up?
What's going on? How you feeling me? Asia, you know what we're doing. You know what we're doing today. Summer love has concluded. Why do black fathers get a bad rep? First of all, do black fathers get a bad rep? And why do they get a bad rep? And what can we do, if there's anything to do, if we should do anything, to modify that rep? Okay. Now, I'm going to make a request to whoever's listening in on the 324 phone number to text me, because I don't know who the hell that is, and I just don't want to hadn't planned on opening the phone lines, but, you know, maybe it's my boss. Who knows, Asia? I don't know what's going on. But I do have a few bosses. Now, listen
maybe,
here.
a line of black fathers, maybe, so they call it.
Yeah. Black Fathers Anonymous.
Right.
whoever it is that speaks for all black fathers. I do have an idea because I do know my 610 numbers. I don't know a 610-324, but I know my 610 people. So we'll see in a second. Now, the funny thing about rep is, Asia, when I went to title the show, I didn't know how to spell rep. Because when people say does something get a bad rep, are they saying rap or are they saying rep? This is what I'm confused about. Now, I'm not the only educated person, educated host on the show, so maybe you can help me.
Yeah, it's this is the problem we have with black people and slang. See, it's not our fault. Because people are mispronouncing these words. See, it does sound like either or, but it's not your fault. It's not your fault. But it is rep, R-E-P, because it's short for reputation. That's why.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's what. See, the scholar in me decided to go with rep, and I thought I made a bad decision because.
You chose wisely.
Okay, good. Because I know rap also means like conversation, right? And rap means like dialogue,
like rap,
right?
Like a bad talk, like talking bad about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm pretty. Somebody out there thinks that too, and that's why they start to say rap, and they confuse in America. Good. So we're gonna set the record straight.
There you go. This is why I need you here. Now, this is a special start time for the show. We're starting at 6 o'clock. The Eric Terrell Show, however, can be heard 24/7, 365. Just tap that little link right there and then hit that play button, and you can hear us, all right? If you're listening live, like the 610-324 number, then you can hit us up, and we may take phone calls if we have time, if our special guest decides that that's all right. Now, the number is 646-595-3259, and our special guest, the special guest of whom I speak, is the one and only Roland Maurice King, and I can't wait to hear from him. All right, before we get to him, oh, first of all, let me announce this, okay, because I did a morning show today, and the special guest on our morning show this morning was Minister Taya Smith, and Minister Taya Smith is headlining the Youth Revival Services tonight. So if you're listening to the show live or in a matter of minutes or hours after the show begins, you still have time to make it. You have time to make it tonight on Wednesday, August 17th, to Germantown and Hunting Park to hear Minister Taya Smith. Now, down to business. Let's do this. Okay. Like I said, the first question is, do they get a bad rep? Now, they do get a bad rep, in my opinion. This is a rhetorical question, I suppose. You can answer the question to yourself. You can answer the question on our Facebook and our Twitter at Eric Terrell Show. Do they get a bad rep? What do you think? Do you believe the rep that our black fathers get is way too detrimental for the good of our culture? Question number two, of which I have a much more concrete response. Why? Why do we get a bad rep? And just do we deserve a bad rep? And I'm going to answer that, the latter, first. Do we deserve a bad rep? Okay, now, listen here. Josh Leves wrote a book. Josh Leves is an author. He wrote a book called All In. And there's a chapter in his book, All In, titled How Black Dads Are Doing Best of All. And then in parentheses, he says, but there's still a crisis. So, how black dads are doing best of all, and then parenthetically, but there's still a crisis. One fact that Labs quickly establishes is that most black fathers in America live with their children. That is a fact. And by the word most, what we mean is clearly at least 51%. By definition,
right,
by
more
definition,
than less.
The word most. Right, exactly. Or it would be just as much as, or whatever. By definition, most means at least 51%. So at least 51% of black fathers live with their children. Now, he goes on to say that there's 1.7 million living apart from their children. However, there are about 2.5 million black fathers that are living with their children. Now, he gave no more numbers than that, but based on the numbers that he delineated, I did my own work afterwards, and I added 2.5 and 1.7, and what you get is 4.2. So therefore, we have 4.2 million black fathers in America, 2.5 of which live with their children. Now, what I did then is I took 4.2 and I divided it by 2.5, and you get a litany of numbers followed by a decimal. So you get 0.595 and a bunch of other numbers. And what those numbers mean is 60%. So 0.595 and whatever numbers follow it translates to 60% of black fathers live with their children in America. There you go, Asia.
Right. Okay. That's, I'm glad you broke it down. I'm not good at math.
I hope somebody followed me. But yeah, that's what we got. Now, I have an idea of why we get a bad rep as well, and maybe I'll do that later. But I'm excited to get to our special guest, and I'm excited to get to our special caller on the line, who I now know how to identify. I know how to identify this person. But first of all, I want to say that our special guest who is joining us right now, Asia, is clearly a father, a black one. Whoopie-doo. I found one. I got one of the 2.5 on the show. I got one.
Right.
And this person is incredibly astute on many things outside of fatherhood as well. He spent 16 years in the financial industry where he does great, great work. And not only is he a black father, but he's a black father times three. Okay, he has three children, the eldest of which is 18, my man Trey, who's at college doing his thing. He has a 16-year-old, and he has my little homie Ridge, who is 7 years old. He's also a godfather of two, an 8-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. Me and my special guest, we spend a lot of valuable, fun, entertaining, educational, spiritual minutes in fellowship every single Sunday in our leadership training class, where we are both in leadership training at Triumph Baptist Church. Asia, I don't know if you noticed, I'm talking with a lisp today. I got to go to the dentist because I got to get my wisdom teeth taken out. I just want to explain real quick, but I should have said that a long time ago. But Welcome to the show. My man, Mr. Roland Maurice King Jr. What's going on, bro?
Nothing much. Thank you. First of all, let me say this. I'm glad, you know, like those old church songs, glad to be in the number. I'm glad to be on the good side of the number that you read off there. I am one of the ones living with the kids, so thank you for that.
Good. How's everything rolling with Black Fatherhood these days? How's Trey in college? I know college. It's funny because college is obviously one of the most pivotal and unique and memorable years for the student. But what we don't realize is that it's also a really, really unique period for the parent. So how's it been being a college parent for the first time? Is that what you expected?
Well, let's just say it like this. You know how you have those plans where you go, yeah, I'm going to save this amount, I'm going to put this amount away, so when he goes to college, I'm going to have X amount? Those plans don't work out if you don't stick to that plan, because thank God the kid got a partial scholarship. So he's, you know, fitting half of the bill himself. So that made that shell shock. Man, this college tuition is a pretty penny, but he's doing his part. I'm doing mine. So what is that experience like? A little shell shock, but it's good. You know, it's good nonetheless. Very proud of him and very happy for him.
Cool. That's great. Now, you represent a very, very proud and prominent lineage here on the show today. I know that all of my church family, at least, and probably a bunch of people outside of our church, are familiar with not only you, but your son, all of your sons, and your father, who's a very, very proud man, very, very good father, obviously, and your mother, Miss Helen King, who has us cracking up all the time. She is the most hilarious woman I think I know. So I know you've learned tons of good things from your father, and you passed them on to your sons. And I'm sure that you would say, of course we all would say it, but if you were to be honest, you'd say you're doing a good job. You'd say that you're a good father, that you do not deserve a bad rep, especially a generalization, because anything that points to a culture or points to a race and says they do this or they don't do that is a generalization, and it hurts all of us.
Correct.
And I know it has to hurt a black father more specifically and more especially. So how do you feel about this stereotype that's been kind of hinted around and rumored around for years and years, and do you think that do you think that it's going anywhere?
Actually, I don't, and it's sad because if you think about what fatherhood is, if you and you rattled it off. So you talked about my dad and, you know, how he's a proud father. But the thing of it is, he spent a lot of time with me. So when I was growing up, yeah, I could tell you, you know, some of the things he said I absolutely did not like. But again, that was the law of the land. In his house, what he said goes, and if you didn't like it, you can goes out the door. But that's how he was. So it wasn't a whole bunch of, you know, when I was coming up, I had a lot of choice. I had a lot of decision. Things for me was, you know, regimented. He was in the service. This is what, to sum it up, he told me this. When you get out of high school, you got two choices. You can go to service or you can go to college. And he was like, I just came out of college and you don't want, I mean, out of the service. And that ain't a place where you would want to go. So that told me right there, you know, get your mind right, get your books together, and get your head on right. So where we are now, when we talk about fatherhood, it ain't the same, man. We got fathers that are younger and younger and younger. So really we having fathers having what I call they little best buddies or they best friends, because they're being friends to these kids instead of fathers to these kids. And that's setting the whole stereotype up where it can keep suffering on. Because what happens is nobody's responsible. Nobody's setting up discipline. And then where does that go? Then the mom's got to step in and do the job of the father. And until we correct that, that thing is going to keep bubbling over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's it might not be the 2.5 that that are the problem. It might be the 1.7 million that aren't living with their children that are really hurting us. Because maybe those 1.7 are more in the spotlight. Maybe these are the people who are more celebrities or more prominent people, and maybe that's why. That's just an idea. But listen here, okay? I said earlier in the show that I have an idea for why the stereotype exists, and I'm going to say this right now so you can react to it, as well as Asia, if she would like. So the reason I think we do have this stereotype is this. Now, we did a show on the Eric Terrell Show about a year or two ago titled, Is Premarital Pregnancy the Norm? And on that show, we learned that 72% of births to non-Hispanic women are births where the mother is not married. Which means that for black mothers, 72% of those mothers have a child before they're married. But it doesn't add up, because we got 60% of black fathers that live with their kids, and the reason those two don't add up is because so many of these fathers are not married to these women. Yet they're still taking care of these kids. They're shacking up. They're living with these women that they're not married to, living with their children, and they're not married. And that's where the stereotype, I think that's where the stereotype comes from, because a lot of people outside of our culture do not understand that, because most of them get married prior to having a kid. They don't understand that you can be a good father and not be married, if you guys follow exactly what I'm saying. Hopefully I said it the right way. But do you think that contributes to the problem?
I would say so, yeah. Because what you're talking about now is the breakdown of the fiber of the family. Like, it used to be in order. Man, woman, marry, kids come thereafter. Well, now you've got situations where, like you said, you know, and first of all, I'm not stepping on, you know, anybody who had kids prior to being married. I get it. It happens. But
it becomes
an everyday thing. Like, it's commonplace. Like, we don't even shun it anymore, where there is no need for the father to even be there. So Now, here's one of the statements that I'm going to make that's probably going to get me in a bunch of trouble. So you go out, you have a baby with a man that you're not with or whatever, and then your attitude towards him changes because y'all not together, or maybe he promised you something that he didn't deliver on. So now you're raising the child by yourself. You get a little bitter. Then you start talking bad about him, or you play those games where you keep the dad away from the kid. Well, when that happens, how does a man be a good father if he's got to jump through all these hoops to see his kid, go through court, to have time with his kid? So now he becomes a bad father because he's now got to deal with the system just to see his kid in the first place. And
right.
he can't, yeah. Spend that same quality time. So when the fabric of the family breaks down, everything after that is going to break down too because there's no cohesion.
I would agree. Now, we have two phone calls really quickly. I'm going to get to the first. Our now non-anonymous, our now much-identified special guest, all three of us are very familiar with this man, a very good supporter of the Eric Terrell Show. Big Dog, what's happening?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
How you feeling?
I'm hanging in there, man.
What's up,
hanging
big
in there.
Bro?
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing. How you been?
You know, one day at a time, brother. One day at a time.
I know it.
The big dog. yes, it is so very good.
Yeah.
Very good to hear from you.
Asia, I'm glad to hear your voice again. I hope you've been doing well.
Thank you.
Now, what do you feel, Big Dog, Coach Mark Brown?
Well, you know me, I'm not one to shy away from getting myself in trouble. So I'm gonna jump on, I'm gonna piggyback off my brother and go right there with a lot of times we have that situation, as you said, you lay down with a man and you end up having a kid with him and you start talking about he ain't no good. He wasn't no good when you laid down with him. He was a thug when you laid down with him. He wasn't about nothing when you laid down with him. He was good looking. He had a little bit of money in his pocket, and all the other girls wanted him, but he chose you. So okay, you do the do, but he's still the same dude. Having a kid ain't gonna change him, and you thinking having
right.
a kid is gonna change him is the mistake. And now you're mad at him, so now he can't see the kid, and God forbid he got another girlfriend. Now he definitely can't see the kid if she around, and we go into that whole cycle. So basically it comes down to making better choices all the way around. The ladies need to make better choices and raise their bar, as in terms of the type of dudes they're dealing with, and the guys need to raise their bar too, because every woman is not meant to be somebody's mama. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because, we can just say that even though we're at 60%, which is the majority of black fathers living with their kids, we're not what the stereotype says. We could say that, well, even though we're not that, we can still be higher than 60%, and we can still do better to eliminate the stereotype. You can take the perspective of the young black professional who has to be the best candidate for the job to get the job. I mean, just because you have to outdo other races to remove the bad name on you just because of your race doesn't mean that you can't do it. So maybe like you said, we can still do better. Roland, do you have any reactions to Coach Mark?
No, actually, I like what he said. Because the thing is, you can't be a father until you have a kid. So the characteristics of the man is who he is once he reaches age of maturity. So like you said, Mark, you can't change him. If he was a thug, he's still going to be a thug. You need to start looking for men and ladies with the qualities that you want. You know that old saying, I want to marry somebody like my dad or marry somebody like my mom. It was a reason why people were saying that. Because your mom held herself as a lady in the street. Your dad was respectable, to your mom. So those are the people you look for. But now, you know, our society, we glamorize the thug and everybody, and everybody got to drive cars and sell drugs, it's pants down to their butts. I mean, come on.
Right.
If the dad to be started out to be no good, when he becomes a dad, guess what? He's still going to be no good.
Right. Asia, anything?
Yes. Well, I would say, like, from my perspective, because I'm not a mother yet, I do have a father that has lived in the household with that top personnel, lucky me. But I do know some of my, I mean, a lot of my peers and my friends and my coworkers, they're, you know, having children, and I see them, you know, kind of bad mouth, you know, their baby daddies and stuff like that, and saying that they wish they never, you know, that had never happened, blah, 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 blah. But there are still a lot of good men out there. Like, I think you opened up perfectly with that ratio, because it doesn't matter how many bad, you know, potentially bad black fathers there are out there. There's still, you know, majority of the good. So just because you found one that you say ain't nothing, that's not their fault. I mean, I see a lot of trends as fathers, like, as far as like how they were raised. Maybe their father wasn't around to, you know, show them what a good father is supposed to do and how he's supposed to act. So that could have been, like, you know, a learned behavior. Then sometimes they don't really get a chance because we have so many other, you know, afflicted things, like, as far as like getting jobs or, you know, being incarcerated. Like, I feel like there's other factors weighing on black men that aren't weighed on other races. So
yeah,
they got a lot. It's a lot of pressure, you know, and I get that, you know.
Yeah,
being a black man, period. So you have all these expectations to live up to, and so that's already, like, you know, out the gun. As soon as you're born a black male, you got all this stuff that's in your face, like, oh, I got to live past being the bad father. I got to live past being the no good baby daddy, all this stuff. So, I mean, I commend.
Yeah.
I really, you know, commend all the black men that are the fathers, because you are exceeding that and you're not letting all this other stuff afflict you. Because
you're
going to get all this stuff thrown at you every day. So if you can, you know, even if you have all this other stuff, you can be a good dad. Even if all those other things are afflicting you. It's possible. Don't think that just because all those things are being said about you that it can't be done.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. What's up, big dog?
Let me say real quick, I wanted to agree with Asia. The fact that you might not have had a father around doesn't mean you can't be a good father. I never knew my father, had no idea what his name is, never met him, don't have no pictures of him. So I didn't really, you know, I didn't have a father in the house to show me what a father was. But once you become a father, your life is not yours anymore. So now you got to make that decision to not be selfish and do what you think is best for your child. You're going to make every decision is going to be, well, how is this going to affect my kid? And Maurice will tell you, everything we do, at the end of the day, you know, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, but how is that going to affect my kid? So, you know, you don't have to have, you know, it is hard not having that, having somebody to show you how to do it, but if you truly love your children, you'll get there, because you'll be doing what's best for them, not for you.
That's so deep, Mark.
About the selfishness, I have conversations with my kids today. And I tell them, I said, look, my job as your father is to make sure your life is better than the life that I led. You know,
yep.
So, you know, the whole thing is I want to make sure your life is better than mine. So, yeah, if I was lucky enough where I live with my mom, my dad, and they took me places, well, guess what? I'm going to take y'all places. So at some point, somebody in the King household should be a millionaire, because
now, I want to I want to say goodbye to our live listeners. They cut off at 6:30. Thanks for tuning in. We're gonna go a few extra minutes as we scoot on out of here. So as we scoot out of here, and I'm gonna let you finish. What you're saying, Roland. First of all, Big Dog, thank you. Appreciate you, bro.
Coach, always glad to be with my coach, man.
Oh, Rum and Coke. That's it, baby. AZ, do you remember that? That's us. That's our name. we are Rum and Coke. Thanks, Big Dog. Appreciate you. And if
all right,
our final, if our final caller has a few very quick words, you're live.
Hey, guys. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. This is Jimmy. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida. How is everybody?
Good.
Guys, I'm going to cut through the suspense and just let everybody know this is Big Dog's father. He's really white. People did not know that. He's been trying to perpetrate being a hardcore gangster on this program for a while, and I didn't want Asia to be the only white person on this show, so I figured I'd call up and end the suspense today.
Well, listen. First of all, I didn't know we had so many listeners all over the country. This is something that I'm learning recently. I appreciate your humor. First of all, Ace is not white. Ace is black. Thank you for.
I saw a picture.
Thank you. Yeah,
I
know.
I don't know. I mean, she's. I'm
she
darker
does well.
Than her, but
she
okay,
does.
I'll believe you.
She does well with that. Yeah,
okay.
she does well with that. Now on topic, do you have anything from a white man? You're apparently white. Do you have anything from a white perspective on the topic of black fathers not taking care of the kids? Really quickly, we're up on time. Go ahead.
Definitely. Well, first of all, you have to find one of these guys. You're going to have to go to a strip club or a dice game or a basketball court somewhere in the inner city and ask them, maybe get them on the program. But I'm a little bit upset because I, in fact, I don't believe you. I still think Asia, you know, she might be Native American or something. Are we sure about this? I mean, has anybody checked her credit?
Listen. Now, so what I'm going to do right now, Jimmy,
yes.
is – Listen, I appreciate your call. I want you to keep calling in. But we're up on time, so what I want to do is I want to give our special guest this moment to have some final statements. Roland.
Yes, sir.
So
in closing.
Go ahead.
All I really wanted to say is, in order to stop this stereotype from going on, we gotta, you know, take ownership of the thing. I see, you know, young fathers with their kids out in the street, and I give them a word of encouragement. And I just simply say, hey, man, I appreciate what you're doing, and they kind of look at me weird, like, huh? But
right
for them to know that I see you. If the world, you know, peg you as a bad man or a bad person or a bad dad, I'm saying to you right now, I appreciate what you do. And that's kind of where I sit. And I feel as though if we support each other more, then we won't have to worry about what people say, because we'll be getting our own accolades from each other, and we could care less what the world thought about us. But that's my thought on it, and that's how I feel about it.
Wow. No, that is a fantastic, terrific closing, and we would care less about what other people thought about us. I couldn't think of a better closing to the show. Listen here, I want to thank the Big Dog. I want to thank Asia Downing. I want to thank Jimmy, even though Jimmy came off random and off topic. Listen, Jimmy, we'll take your call when we're ready for nonsense, but thanks for calling in. I want to thank all my listeners. But sometimes we do like nonsense. We do nonsense, and he thought it was a nonsense moment. It wasn't, so I had to hang up on Jimmy. But I love you, Jimmy, and I love all of my listeners. We are going to get to Triumph Baptist Church tonight to hear Minister Taya Smith preach at the youth revival. I'm excited for it. It is going to be fun. Listen here. Back to school next week. We have had a fantastic intermission right here in between Summer Love and Back to School. But the Summer Love series is over. The Back to School series begins next week. We're starting off with Miss Karen Barrett. That's right. She's been in the education system for about 25, 30 years, and we're going to talk her about students respecting authority. Going to be a great episode next week as we kick off Back to School. Love! Love is the most important thing. Love yourself. love other people. Love the truth and love love. It's not hard to love love because all you've got to do is love God because God is love and God did it. All right. Appreciate y'all.